always had this, I don't know, I've interviewed so many scientists that, and they tell me, the theoretical guys, that everything we see, all the stars and all the planets and all this immense everything came from something apparently smaller than a quark, something so small we can't even right now, I guess, do anything other than imagine it. It's just too much to contemplate. What's your take on it?
Well, yeah, the thing that you're alluding to is the Big Bang, because we know the universe began 13.7 billion years ago. The universe came out of something that was as incredibly tiny as you describe, and that's pretty well known. And in fact, there was the Nobel Prize that was awarded this year for measuring what the universe was like early in its life cycle. So, yes, that's true. And the question is, what came prior to that? What was the cause of that? But before we get into that, I guess it's worth noting that I'm not entirely alone among scientists in thinking that there is a deeper explanation for the origin of the universe that involves an intelligence of some kind. For example, Sir Fred Hoyle, who was the British cosmologist who coined the term Big Bang, in a 1995 Scientific American article, he's reported as saying that the universe looked to him like an obvious fix, and attributed that to an intelligence. Max Planck, the father of quantum theory, in his book, The Universe in the Light of Modern Physics, wrote that there are realities existing apart from our sense perceptions. And I've already mentioned Sir James Jeans and his ideas that the universe looked more like a great thought than a great machine. And then there's Sir Arthur Eddington. He's the scientist who made Einstein famous, because in 1919, he's the one that led the eclipse expedition that measured the deflection of starlight that proved that general relativity was correct. So Eddington was a great promoter of Einstein. He wrote one of the first textbooks on general relativity. He was the one who discovered how stars shine. In other words, he was the first to propose that thermonuclear reactions drive stars and wrote a textbook on that. But he also wrote a book called Science and the Unseen World, because he was a mystic. He thought that there were other realities beyond the physical. So I'm not entirely alone in my thinking. There are some very prominent and deep thinkers who've shared some of these ideas.
Okay, so it is your view then that it did occur that way, and that there was a creator that made that happen.
Indeed, I think that the Big Bang is a great way to start a universe. I mean, if I had to start a universe, I'd do it the same way, I guess. But the question is, what came before that? And it's even a question whether this is a legitimate question, because I think that space and time probably came into being along with the Big Bang itself. And so the question of what came before takes on kind of a deeper, fuzzier significance, because we can't really extrapolate time to an even earlier event that preceded the universe, because probably there was no time at all. But you do need some kind of pre-existing something to make something happen.
You can only imagine a great emptiness. That's it. You can imagine a great emptiness prior to this.
You could, but if there weren't any quantum laws, then you couldn't even have a quantum fluctuation. If there weren't any inflation fields, you wouldn't have the inflation that's thought to drive the early universe. You need the pre-existence of something in order to make anything happen.
Well, if there was just great emptiness, Doctor, and there were no, you didn't even have two objects. I mean, in order to even have time, a measurable thing, you must have one object moving in relationship to another, yes?
That's exactly correct, yes.
Well, I guess we're both in an area that you can only speculate about, but it really does inevitably lead to something so much greater than ourselves that it has to be a god. So why is it that scientists can't or won't make that little leap, or big leap?
Well, I think that there is this, as I said before, this historic problem of the conflict between science and religion that goes back centuries to Galileo and Bruno and so on. And there's also the problem that I think we need a more modern, up-to-date concept of God. I think the concept of God that we have in many religions is very anthropomorphic, and as such, it's been the source of a lot of conflict. It's been the source of a lot of abuse and misuse of powers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that science is reacting to notions of God that are too simple to be true. That I think if we have a concept of God as an intelligence behind the universe not one that microengineers life forms and creates a universe that is a 6,000-year-old universe. That makes no sense at all. I think it's possible to come up with a concept of God that even a hardcore scientist would say, well, that's an acceptable idea. I may or may not believe that. In fact, I probably won't believe anything because as a scientist, I don't believe things. I insist on proof. But it's a possibility I will hold in mind, one that I think stands on equal logical ground with the idea that there is no God and that everything can be traced back to some kind of quantum fluctuation or inflation field. But where do those come from? So we're at terra incognita here, and it cannot be proven one way or the other. I'm not claiming in my book that I've proven anything, only that there are two possibilities and that you can accept whichever one you want. But, you know, I think there's actually a slight edge for the possibility that there is an intelligence. And that has to do with the reports throughout the ages of mystics and the prayerful and spontaneous, exceptional human experiences people have had. People have communed with this intelligence throughout history.
Oh, yes.
And that's part
of
our human knowledge. And I think to discard that and say, well, that's not scientific evidence, you can do that. But I think we'll discover in the century ahead that there is reality to those kinds of perceptions and that there's much to be learned from that.